Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Whether you're tuning in on the radio dial in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM, we welcome you. Also, those joining us through our various online affiliates around the world, we're glad to have all of you with us as well. I always love to welcome return guests to our program today, and award-winning author Linda Bella Ruiz is back with us today to discuss not only her newest book that she released this year called Love Thy Neighbor, but also what it was like for her to look on this life that's based on actual events to see how we can all in our own way be able to do just that, to love our neighbors as ourselves, and to be able to make a difference in people's lives, sometimes in ways that we never imagined. Now, if you're just hearing about Linda and her book, we'll tell you at the end of our segment how you can get and stay connected with her, as well as get the book for yourself. But Linda, hello to you, and welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much. I am honored to be here, Cyrus.
Well, look, the pleasure's definitely all mine. You know, I thought about when I went into this book, Linda, of course, we all know that scripture in Mark chapter 12, verse 31, where Jesus talks about the importance of loving our neighbor as ourselves. And I think, you know, sometimes you and I were just talking about, sometimes that is definitely easier said than done. But you have definitely taken that message to heart, Linda. I remember our first conversation and the work you've done, you know, across, you know, of course, you know, across the world, really, and being able to raise awareness based on your own experiences. What has it been like for you to show that love the way that you've been able to?
Not always easy. Sometimes we're called to go outside of our comfort level. As this story, Love Thy Neighbor, unfolds, I didn't want to love my neighbor. You know, I resisted loving my neighbor. So it's individual for each of us how we're going to handle that. The mandate is there, but can we really do it? I'm pleased that I feel led to follow the Spirit as I'm guided, but it's not easy.
Right. And it's not easy for the main character in the book, Love Thy Neighbor. I should say, as I mentioned, you know, this book is based on actual events. We're able to meet an individual that we get to know as Rebecca. And Rebecca is an individual who means well, who wants to do good. But when individuals, you know, kind of come around her, into her neighborhood, literally, you know, she's kind of has to put herself in check to see, is she willing to do that, even with someone who looks different than her, someone who has a lifestyle that seems so different, that, you know, are we able to put those things aside? You know, as I mentioned in your first conversation with us, Linda, we talked about your first book. And in that book, you shared with us, of course, the amazing things that you have been able to overcome, but also the work that you've been able to do and being able to spread hope. What has it been like for you to use these books to be able to spread that same message of hope?
Well, in my first book, From Tears to Triumph, My Journey to the House of Hope, is about combating underage prostitution and reaching out to young girls, street girls, homeless girls down in Central America. That was a blessing for me to be used in that way, to set up Costa Rica's very first halfway house with a Christian message to say Jesus loves you. That was major for me. And then to use that platform of that book and those experiences in my earlier life to go on and champion the efforts right here in the United States to help victims of sex trafficking. So these books have been, and I never thought this would be, have been a platform for me to get out a bigger message. Coming behind From Tears to Triumph is Love Thy Neighbor. And again, it's a platform talking to the young people or to all people in the world about choices and their consequences.
Right. And I think those consequences, that's what sometimes we don't always think about, Linda, for sure. Going back to the book, we not only meet Rebecca, one of the main characters, but we also meet Toro. Now, Toro on the outside looks like an individual that many of us may cross the street to be able to avoid them. But what you allow us to see in the book is what made Toro the way that he is. And I think this is a big thing for us because a lot of times we are so quick, even though we say that we don't judge and we don't want to judge and we know we shouldn't judge, We do judge. We judge based on where someone's from sometimes. We judge based on what they look like, what we think their background is. What was it like for you to share that, you know, even someone like Toro is someone that not only, of course, had a heart, but also someone who was able to realize that there was something bigger than himself?
It took a while for me to see Toro's heart. By the time I met him, by the time he became my neighbor in this book based on true events, that heart, whatever heart he had, was deep inside. And on top of it, it had been layered with machoism. It had been layered with anger, with survival, as he became a member of a prominent drug cartel down in Mexico. So all I saw was this unapproachable human being, young, I mean 25 mm-hmm. years old, but weathered and worn, and I'd look in his eyes and they would scare me. But when God said, love thy neighbor, and that verse came to me, it was, but Lord, do you know who my neighbor is? That's so easy to say, love thy neighbor, but then you look at that neighbor and go, but wait, he's XYZ. So I branched out. I just stepped forward in faith and confronted my fear, not all at once, little by little. And my first goal was to make him human, because that's what we all are. That's right. The unifying force of us on this planet is that we're human. And so I set out for my own sake to make him human to me. And it was that first touch I talk about in the book, when I touched his arm and then contemplated later, I didn't die. I touched him and I didn't die. He's human.
Right. And that brings up something else, too, that you address in the book. Lyndon, we discussed this before the segment began. A lot of times I remember this, especially from my family, ironically, who have never been to other places. They will tell you how bad these places are. You don't want to go to New York. The people are mean. The cities are dirty. You know, there's a high crime rate. You don't want to go to Los Angeles because it's just a bunch of sin and no morals, and you know, people have these broad ideas of what other areas are like without realizing where they live and what's going on in their own area. You have an exchange in the book, Rebecca does, with someone, you know, who Rebecca likes, and basically saying how, you know, the person was saying to Rebecca, how could you go to these places as dangerous as they are? And Rebecca's response was, well, look at where you live and look at the things that go on there. I mean, how important has that lesson been for you, that we can't even, not only should we not judge people, we shouldn't judge locations based on what we think either?
And that's a main part of this story, because, as you know, and some of the listeners may know, I live part of the time in Mexico, and I'm constantly getting told, how can you do that? It's so dangerous. How could you possibly live down there? And yet in this village where I live, it's, for the most part, except for the Toro story, for the most part, is peaceful and kind and loving, and the people are just so kind and inviting that it hurts my heart. It did, and I talk about it in the book, and it still does, that all of Mexico is being painted with this huge brush of it's bad, it's evil. If you go there, you'll be killed, you'll be kidnapped, and yet I feel safer there than I do in major parts of my own country that I love, the United States. So one of my messages is, don't take a broad brush and paint the whole universe with your fears. Experience. I don't go into dangerous areas, not there and not here, but they're not all the same.
Right. And I think that's the big reminder for us all. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm excited to welcome back award-winning author and my friend Linda Bella Ruiz to our program. We're talking with her not only about her newest book released this year called Love Thy Neighbor, A Precarious Endeavor, but also what it's been like for her to be able to share a bit of her life that's based on actual events the book is, of not only, of course, what it's like for us to put those words into practice, loving our neighbor, but also how by doing that, the effect that we can have. And I think that's another important thing for us to think about, Linda, is that we never know just by being kind to someone, by showing someone interest, by letting them know that they matter, and that, as you said, that they're human, what that can mean for that person. What has that been like for you to be able to share with people?
It's an honor, and it's humbling that somebody, you know, I'm no special person, I'm just a person, that I can feel led by the Spirit to act out on faith, and it makes a difference. There's a pivotal line that I believe people have asked me, when do you think something turned towards the positive between Rebecca and Toro? And I believe it's the day that I invited him into my world, into my house. I opened a door, and I opened a physical door to him, but I think it also opened a spiritual and emotional door. And that day, as I sat down to know him, although I was shaking in fear at the beginning of that first encounter, as he left that day, if you remember that scene, I reached out and I touched him, and I said, Rebecca says, Toro, I respect you. I respect that you will do something. And that respect and love are the two most important things in this world. Women love love. Men love and respond to respect. And it was me believing and letting him know that no matter what he'd done, and he didn't know that I knew who he was at that point, that I respected him. And that's an important lesson for all of us.
Yeah. I think the other thing, you know, that we're seeing, because there are the moments of things going on around them, individuals coming up missing, individuals that we know are dead. Mm-hmm. You know, there are things that happen, you know, as the story unfolds that we're able to see. But, you know, it's also a reminder of how quickly life changes, right? I think that is the big thing. I mean, I want to talk about a conversation that's in the book between Tony and Rebecca. And there, of course, they're talking about some of the things that have been going on in the newspaper. And I'll just share a bit of this. For those who have the print edition of the book, it's found on page 201. And that's where we kind of find the subtitle, actually, Linda, of this book, A Precarious Endeavor. There, of course, you know, you're talking about the things that are going on. And you write this: a palpable sense of fear clouded the normal we're in paradise atmosphere. I no longer walked home alone after dark. The taxi driver stayed outside my house until I was safe inside. I hate this feeling, Tony, I complained a week after Tequila Joe's disappearance. I used to say the only dangerous things in La Perlita were the uneven sidewalks. Tony laughed. That's still mostly true, he said. Home invasions, kidnappings, murders, robberies, and stuff happening every day in California, and I've stopped paying much attention over the years. But one thing happens here, and it's devastating, I said, preparing to open the taxi door. I think it's because we're such a small town, he said. That brings it closer to home. Tony accepted the peso for my hand. Toro doesn't scare you, he asked. He used to. Not anymore. We have a strange relationship I can't even describe. I do get nervous at times when I think about who he may be and how others describe him as so dangerous. My boyfriend Jason calls it a precarious friendship. I call it a precarious endeavor. So, you know, and you're able to share this precarious endeavor with us through the book. What was your hope with this one, Linda? We talked about earlier with the first book, you know, how you were able to share a bit of your story and share with us, of course, your journey toward hope and the work that you were able to do. What were you hoping to do with Love Thy Neighbor?
I first wanted to get the story out. I didn't have a higher purpose except to give Toro's story, the true events of his life, and what led him to be a major player in a drug cartel. And then afterwards, I realized this is a message for young adults, and my goal is to get it into high schools, into the freshman year of high school, to young kids who aren't thinking yet. Their heads aren't totally developed, their thinking process. And to let them see that a one decision as Toro made. One decision that made sense in the moment will change the trajectory of your life. That one decision to sell a few drugs, he tells his wife Nellie, just a few to give us a better life, goes on to unfold into the changing of his family, his children to come, his in-laws, his wife, the brothers that he strived to protect. Everybody's life was impacted because he made a choice. And maybe through this story and the way that I wrote it, as more of the drama of it, the truth unfolding, if it could just touch one person or two people and say, wow, I was just given an invitation to sell a few drugs or to be part of this gang or to, if somebody will stop and go, wow, my whole life could be affected in such a negative way. That's my platform for this book, how consequences come from choices.
Right. Do you also find that this book is a reminder of how it takes steps to allow our faith to overcome our fear, Linda?
Yes. What I first talked about was Toro's side of it, and then Rebecca's side was, wow, tiny steps. How her decision actually to take a step of faith caused ripple effects and touched people in positive ways. And the reader, you know, sees that I am the author, Linda Bayo Ruiz, is Rebecca, and those decisions that I made first to love the children of that household and then their father, that love that I have for that family is still intact. It is still impacting their lives. I am still in communication with them and reaching out to help one of the characters that ends up in a wheelchair. I speak with them almost every day. So whatever we do in life, be it Toro's decisions to make negative impact or Rebecca's decision to make a positive impact, we're always making decisions and impacting those around us every day.
We are, for sure.
Yeah,
I want to talk about Toro because there is one of the scenes that I could definitely see in a movie, Linda, I believe, when I think he realizes that things are catching up to him. When the realization of, I mean, even you write in there, and I thought this was such an interesting thing. I can't remember the exact wording, but I think you'll remember what I'm talking about, where he used to think he was invincible or indestructible.
Yes, indestructible.
And then the reality of his own mortality comes crashing in. But he makes sure, though, that he, and I'll talk around this, so I don't give it away, that those that he loves are taken care of. And he reminds him of the importance of being bigger, basically, of not allowing these things to continue, but for them to come together. What was that like for you to share with us that, you know, we have to get to a place where we realize what really matters?
That was important for me to share because if you talk to the locals in this town about this individual in real time, in real life, they call him names, and he was the scourge of society, and he was a bad man, and he was selfish, and he should have gotten his family out of there. But I wanted the world to see that, no, that humanness that I started to discover was there, and he made a choice to put others before him. That's the proof of his humanness. And that was a hard one for him. And those moments, as his wife describes to me later, that I put in that book, of the choices he made on a very pivotal day, the choice that he made, as small as going to school with his son who was in trouble on a pivotal day. That's almost like, really? What would a human being of us have done on that pivotal day? but it's what made him human, and it's the Toro that I was seeing, that I was able to reach out and touch and then push him in his hammock and sit down and laugh with him when everybody was saying, stay away, stay away. Are you kidding? Stay away from him. I don't, as I say in the book, I don't know if I was stupid, if Rebecca was stupid, or if she had a higher purpose, and the reader will have to decide.
Right. I think that's it. And also, I think it bears saying, have to decide for themselves, too, how far they're willing to go. Because I think all of us, in everything, really, we have to be pushed outside of our comfort zone. In the first book, we're able to see you doing that. I mean, what you do, the work you do is not natural, Linda. I think you really... And it's sad to say that. I mean, it's not natural because it's not easy. You know, it's not easy to do. Because if it was easy, more people would do it. It is necessary. And I think that is the interesting thing about this book, is that it reminds us of a lot of times the things that are necessary are not going to be easy. But you have to be willing again to have the faith to do it anyway. And I think to realize that you're not alone in doing it, right?
Yes, and I have to laugh because I wonder, why me? I've said this most of my life. You know, as you see in book one, From Tears to Triumph, why me, Lord? Why me? I mean, I'm nobody. I'm a young woman from out of the vineyards of Northern California, and I'm now in book one. I'm in fighting, walking red light districts in Central America. Why me? I'm in a jail in Mexico. Why me? I'm now facing this major drug lord. Why me? Friends of mine, when I ask that question humbly, just say, obviously, he has equipped you, because it's not me.
Yeah. Right.
It's not me. And I think back that every single lesson that I've learned and that I've shared with the reading audience and you and so many people, each one has built upon another to make me, as you say, different. I've always been different, and it's not natural. And so I have those who just don't know what to do with me. It's like, I'm just, okay. It's how
right.
can this even be real? I don't know. I swear it's all real, but it's different. It's different.
It is different, but it does set an example for us, Linda, and I think that's what we all need. We need an example of two things. One, that you can come out of horrendous situations and be able to not only, of course, to get to a place where you can have better for yourself, but also can help other people realize the importance of that. And two, you remind us that no matter where your journey may take you, no matter how people may see you, that God sees something in all of us, and it's up to us for us to be able to realize it. Because
wow.
I think, you know, if it was not for that, I think that, you know, that whole command of loving our neighbor as ourselves, I mean, we would want the very best for ourselves, so we have to be willing to want that for other people. And I think by wanting that, I think that also equips us for everything that may come our way. And I think that's the great thing about this book. It's a great reminder for us, but it's also, I think, you know, will help us all in some ways too, Linda, to stop feeling sorry for ourselves. Because, I mean, we don't have to deal with cartels, most of us in our area. We don't have these drug lords in our neighborhood, you know. I mean, so,
right.
you know, we have to start thinking that, okay, we don't have it as bad as some people have, so what is my excuse for not doing whatever it is we should be doing? I think that's it. Is that kind of what you hope when people finish the book, that they realize that your journey, even though it may have taken you in different places, is not so different than their journey?
Yes, it's my journey for some reason is magnified, but it's the same journey. And a dear friend of mine just finished the book. She said, I'm not a reader. I talked to her, she approached me on Sunday, and she said, I'm not a reader, but I read your book in 3 days because I couldn't stop reading. And she said, when I closed the book, I made the decision to stop hating my neighbor and pray for that neighbor and find something to approach him in a different way. And that made my day. That made it all worthwhile, because that's what I want people to take away. It's got a lot of sadness in there. It's got some laughter. It's got a lot of tension, but it has messages. It has messages about why the cartels flourished in Mexico and flourish. What is that all about? It's a history lesson. It's a child's lesson. It's a young man's lesson. I want the world to read it and take away what they need. They personally need from it.
Right. I think that's it, and that's what we now are able to do. Again, everyone, Linda Bella Ruiz has been our guest. Make sure you all pick up her newest book called Love Thy Neighbor. It's available through our friends at Amazon.com, as is her first book. So make sure you all look at that, too, when you're on Amazon. Linda, you have a website that's set up that kind of takes us through everything. Let our audience know how they can stay connected with you as well.
Yes, it's www.lindabelloruiz.com. And Bello Ruiz is actually spelled B-E-L-L-O-R-U-I-Z, although I'm sure you have this on Facebook and on the Internet. But LindaBelloRuiz.com. And people can reach me at my Gmail account, which is lmbelloruiz@gmail.com. I would love to speak to groups and book clubs, and in the back of the book are 19 questions to make you think about things that happen.
Right. So make sure I'll take advantage of that. Linda, congratulations to you on the new book. Glad we had a chance to discuss it here, and looking forward to our next conversation together.
Thank you. Bless you and all that you do, Cyrus Webb.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that, Linda. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. And as Linda mentioned, if you're joining us online, you will be able to find the details that she mentioned actually on the podcast of this conversation. If you all came in late, you missed part of the interview with Linda, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay. The link is already available through my social media site. So head over to Facebook.com/CyrusWebb or go over to Twitter.com/CyrusWebb. If you click on the link there, you can listen to the show completely for free and share with your friends from there, too. Again, the book is called Love Thy Neighbor. The author is Linda Bello Ruiz. So make sure you all take advantage of getting that book for yourself. We definitely thank Linda for joining us and thank all of you for tuning in to this edition of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.